Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yes, the year is 2007, because on this day, Texas ripped the Orioles apart 30-3 at Camden Yards, and it was the game one of a doubleheader. We've been doing NFL previews all week. It has been the AFC South's week. So we're closing it out with the Houston Texans. Yep, talked about the Colts, the Jags, and the Titans, and now it's time to get to the Texans. Cody Stutes joins us from the main event here at SB Nation Radio, along with Jake Asman, from 4 to 8 Eastern Time every single afternoon. They do a fantastic job. How are you, Cody?
Doing fantastic, Tony. You guys do a fantastic job as well. We're big fans.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right, let me just get this sort of house cleaning keeping out of the way here. Jadeveon Clowney, is there any feeling like he's going to come back? Or what's the story and where do they stand with him?
Despite the trade rumors that popped up sort of out of thin Twitter air a couple of weeks ago, I think the expectation once Jadeveon Clowney and the Houston Texans didn't come to a long-term contract agreement before the franchise tag deadline to do so, I think the expectation was Jadeveon Clowney is going to come back somewhere in the preseason before the regular season gets going, and he'll be ready for week one against the New Orleans Saints. I do not believe this will get anywhere close to a Le'Veon Bell situation. I believe Clowney's going to play this season. I just don't believe that he's going to show up and essentially work for free, because he gets paid the same as if he shows up for just week one and then if he showed up right now. So none of us really want to work for free. Clowney shouldn't either. And I think they should have signed him to a long-term deal. They didn't. The rumors were that they were shopping him a couple weeks ago. There wasn't too much hard fact behind any of that. And I believe Jadeveon Clowney will be back in time to get ready for the first game against the Saints.
What's the philosophical reason why they haven't done it? Is it money? Is it maybe production and getting a guy on the tail end? Is it the fact that there's really no one in charge of the Texans right now because it's GM by committee?
I'm not exactly sure the idea behind letting the second best defensive player on the team sort of languish out there, but it's not money. They've got plenty of money. And I know that Deshaun Watson, there's the fear that he may ask for a new contract after 3 years of play, which will be at the end of this season, along the lines of what Carson Wentz did. But, again, you've got plenty of money. So it hasn't been money. I think there's still a slight concern that Jadeveon Clowney is not the most durable guy. He missed a lot of practices last year, missed a game last year via injury. And I think they just want to see him take his game to the next level. In totality, he's already an elite run stopper, but he's not an elite pass rusher. And if he was able to rattle off 13, 14 sacks this year, I think the Texans would be happy to pay him. But if he doesn't do that, I think there's maybe a chance of a franchise tag again. I know they shopped him early in the offseason, and if they tagged him again, I think the idea would be to tag him to trade him. So maybe it's still just a prove-it thing. Stay healthy, practice more than you did last year, and take your game to the next level as a pass rusher, and then the Texans will pay you. But if not, I think there'll be a long line of teams ready to pay Jadeveon Clowney.
All right, the Texans went to the playoffs last year. What was the biggest thing they needed to improve on this offseason, and did they do that?
So a lot of people would tell you that it's going to be the offensive line, and I wouldn't disagree with them, but I would lump cornerback into that scenario as well. They had to get better at the offensive line. They had to get better at cornerback, and while they didn't throw a ton of talent at those situations, they threw a lot of bodies at those situations. On the offensive line, first-round pick, Titus Howard, he's going to start at left guard, and I know Texans fans are frustrated that he's not the starting left tackle for this team, but if you told the Texans they were going to draft a starter in the first round of the offensive line, most people would have taken that. And in fact, they may have two starters from the draft, because their second round pick, Max Sharping, has been getting a lot of work at right guard as well. Remains to be seen if he can beat the veteran out that's in front of him, but eventually he'll be starting at right guard. And so potentially two starters out of the first three picks that the Texans had this year. And then their other second-round pick was Lonnie Johnson. He's been a little up and down at the corner spot, but they still have Jonathan Joseph, who's a veteran. They signed Bradley Roby, and Roby's looked fantastic. He took a one-year prove-it deal with this Texans team. He's looked really good in training camp. That guy just hangs with everybody. He's around every play. And he gets to match up with DeAndre Hopkins every day in practice. And that's been fantastic for him. The big concern for me is the left tackle spot for the Texans. They went out, they signed Matt Khalil, who didn't play last year with the Panthers because he was hurt the year before that. When he did play, he was not very good. And Khalil has just been mysteriously absent from workouts for the better part of a week. And they've got a journeyman left tackle named Roderick Johnson playing for them right now. And that's a scary proposition when you think about how bad this offensive line was. But I will say, though I don't think the offensive line is really good or even average yet, it's better than last year. But, you know, how much better is the 20th offensive line compared to the 31st, 32nd offensive line that they were last year? Well, that remains to be seen.
Cody Stutz joins us here on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Again, get a quote today at progressive.com, home, auto, and from a standpoint of running the ball, Cody, I know Duke Johnson is there. He just started practice. Lamar Miller there as well. But how would you grade the running game right now with the Texans?
I actually think the running game is one of the things they did decent last year for different stretches, but then they also struggled for different stretches. The way they have the offensive line set up now, the young guys at guard, the veterans at tackle and center, I believe in their ability to run the football, and I certainly think that they will run the football pretty well. Lamar Miller's entering a very rare area that most NFL players don't get. He's in his second contract. He's had zero adjustments to the contract. He's played the contract out as is. He's in his fourth year of the contract, and just running backs and veterans in the NFL typically don't get that luxury, but Lamar Miller's there. Duke Johnson, I think they're going to throw him the ball too, but don't be afraid to hand him the ball and run with him too. This is not a guy who's got your typical running back wear and tear, so they may use him between the tackles a little bit. And then, of course, Deshaun Watson, both in a situation where they designed for him to run and in a situation where he just takes off because there's nothing there. Without Deshaun Watson's runs, they were one of the 10 worst rushing attacks in football last year. With them, they were one of the 10 best rushing attacks in football. So Deshaun running around, that's going to help the rushing game a ton. And hopefully the passing game is going to open things up and make it a little bit easier, because in recent years, because they knew they could get to the quarterback on passing downs, they've been able to really stack the box on Lamar Miller. And Lamar Miller's not had a real backup for a while. So to have Duke Johnson there, I think this rushing attack, and Bill O'Brien loves to run the football, probably to a fault, I think this rushing attack's going to be pretty decent.
We were talking about this earlier about the Texans and how many times they've had pretty good teams going into the playoffs and then it just stalls, and sometimes it stalls at home. Has there been a consistent reason why that's occurred? Maybe it's injuries, maybe it's just fading at the wrong time. Is there something about this team that has not projected to an AFC championship game, or heck, even a Super Bowl?
I think there's two things that you look at it, and you know, last year in the playoffs, they just got beat up. They weren't tough. They weren't as tough as the Colts. The Colts ran it down their throats and really controlled the game in the playoffs. Deshaun Watson didn't play very well. They didn't set him up for success. And so along with being prepared to succeed, I think you look at Bill O'Brien. He didn't have him ready to play a couple of years ago when the Kansas City Chiefs came in and smoked him in the playoffs. They beat a Connor Cook-led Raiders team for the only playoff win in Bill O'Brien's tenure. And then they got smoked in their next game. And then last year, the Colts come into your place after you hold them off and win the AFC South. And then they dominated the game from almost start to finish. Bill O'Brien's got to do a better job getting that team ready, putting them in a situation to succeed. Yeah, I know there were some significant injuries to the Texans down the stretch. I know DeAndre Hopkins played basically the last, you know, 3-4 weeks of the season with one arm. I understand that. And I understand that their other wide receivers were hurt. But at some point, you've got – everybody's hurt. Everybody has guys to go down. At some point, you've got to put something together. You've got to inspire your team. And I think Bill O'Brien's come up short a couple of different times in the preparedness factor in the playoffs. And that's why I think you see the Texans kind of get run out of the playoffs and almost every time you find them in the playoffs.
Cody Stutz again joining us from the main event here on SB Nation Radio, does afternoons with Jake Asman here on our network, talking Houston Texans. I like to do big picture questions, so I'm going to ask you this about J.J. Watt. from the standpoint of giving people an understanding of what he means to the city, because from the outside, he always seems to be doing the right things, and he always just seems to be saying and acting in a way that represents the city well and makes the city proud. Can you just give us a perspective on what he is in the city of Houston and what he means to the people of that city?
I mean, what did Superman mean to Metropolis? That's kind of what I think with J.J. Watt, just from a on-field football standpoint. He's one of the best players to ever play football in the city of Houston. And I'm not talking about for the Houston Texans. I'm talking about you've had Earl Campbell, you've had Elvin Bethea, who's a Hall of Famer, you've had a couple of other Hall of Famers, Dr. Doom, Kenny Houston. J.J. Watt's got an argument, and maybe probably is the best guy who ever played football in the city of Houston. Not to mention, he raised about $40 million to help the city after, obviously, the horrible flooding a couple of years ago. He's a fan favorite. Everybody in the city likes him. If he ran for mayor tomorrow, he'd be the mayor of the city. Just a icon, I think, is the way you could put it. The hope, I'm sure, from the Texans franchise and maybe even Watt is that he plays every single snap of his NFL career in a Texans uniform. But you're getting to a point here where if there's continues to be small failures for this franchise, would Watt think about big picture chasing that championship? Because frankly, Watt is on track to be the best player to never play in a Super Bowl. Him and Phillip Rivers are on that track right now, and I don't think that's the designation that J.J. Watt wants to finish his career with. He grew up in Wisconsin. He saw Reggie White chase the championship. I don't think it's totally out of the question that Watt would want a championship before his football days are over, but I think if everybody had their choice, he'd only play in a Texans uniform.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think you are right on the money. I think there's some point where that does kick in and that thought kicks in. The one thing that I have always appreciated with Watt, and I've seen big athletes in big towns, and I've seen those athletes transcend not only their sport, but to support the other local teams in that particular city. And I've seen it, I saw it in Denver a few times. But I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like the way Watt gets behind the Rockets and the way Watt gets behind the Astros. And it is so refreshing to see that guy who plays for one team but is so supportive of the other teams in the cities. From a guy that doesn't live in Houston, I really respect that because I've never seen it on that kind of level.
One of the things that is just so fun about J.J. Watt is he literally is a giant sports fan, is what it is, like both physically and just in his... I mean, wakes up early to watch the Premier League. When the Premier League or European soccer comes through Houston, you know, he's got a box there watching the soccer matches. Obviously, his fiance plays for the local women's professional soccer team. He's courtside at the Rockets. He's throwing out the first pitch at the Astros, hanging out with Jose Altuve. Like, I mean, he just really ingrains himself. And I think I don't think he does that to, you know, expand the J.J. Watt brand. I think he looks at it like, man, I'm a huge sports fan, and I have this opportunity to do all this cool stuff, so I'm going to see all this cool stuff when I can. I'm going to experience all these cool sports things when I can. I think that's one of the, you know, relatable things about J.J. Watt is, I mean, the guy likes to get up and watch sports during the day on the TV.
Give me 30 seconds, Cody. From a standpoint of where the expectations are, is this Super Bowl or nothing the way this team is built? Is it just people will be happy if they just get out of the first round?
I think you want to see the Houston Texans win a football game in convincing fashion in the playoffs and then be competitive in the rest of them. In a grand scheme of things, you'd love for them to play for an AFC championship. There's a lot of really good teams in the AFC. Hard to see them doing that. But if they could win a playoff game in convincing fashion against a good team and a good quarterback, I think that would go a long way for instilling some confidence in this team.
Cody, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. We're going to get you on again as the season progresses. Thank you so much.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that promise.
You got it. Cody Stutz, again, with Jake Asman here on SB Nation Radio. They host the main event 4 to 8 Eastern time right here on our network. Really check them out. Really good. And his appearance is sponsored by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's Progressive at Progressive.com today. All right, we'll come back, give final thoughts on the Texans as we wrap up their preview today on SB Nation Radio.